It's always time for the dead to shine in Hollywood. The legendary Dearly Departed Tours has stepped up their ghostly game by offering the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour. Dearly Departed has long been an orb of hope in the paranormal world, having been featured on television's Haunted History and Haunted Collector. Their terrible tales have been made infamous in Marla Brooks' The Ghosts of Hollywood books. The new Ghosts and Legends Tour is a 10-block, 70-minute dusk-time stroll down the Boulevard of Broken Dreams. You'll be guided through the golden age of Hollywood and see where the unearthly Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney, and the calamitous Black Dahlia are still said to linger. You'll see Hollywood's gothic hotels, legendary theaters, and restaurants, never forgetting their permanent occupants. No stranger to investigations, Dearly Departed Tours has first-hand knowledge of some of these hauntings. For details of the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour, find Dearly Departed Tours on Facebook, dearlydepartedtours.com, or call 1-855-600-DEAD.
You are listening to Para X.
Left the sky. Now you're all alone. The witches are. is with you still. And the love you made, aha, the love you made. Each night I make and then untie will stir the wind to fill the sky. To my looking glass I spy, see your face, it passes by. Like nine candles in a row, six to make your passion grow. Two to lead you to my door and one is for the power. You'll come to me, the essence of this mystery. Now the dark one do behold, all the secrets will unfold, reaching from the ages old. Do you feel the power? Ah, the witch's hour, ah, the witch's hour, ah, the witch's hour, ah, the witch's hour, ah, the witch's hour.
Welcome to Stirring the Cauldron. Now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Merry meet, and welcome once again to Stirring the Cauldron here on the Para-X Radio Network. We're going to explore the world of Ouija with author Karen Dahlman. Now, she is a highly experienced Ouijaologist, and she teaches others about the positive benefits of this as a means of expanding and deepening one's world and expressing within it in the most profound ways. And she's written a book called The Spirits of Ouija, Four Decades of Communication. And she refers to the book as her Ouija tell-all because it reflects her 40-year odyssey spent communicating with her spirit friends from the great beyond. As always, questions from the chat room are very welcome. And so, Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Marla. It's great to be here. Hi, everybody.
It's an interesting start, but, you know, we're going to just plug along. And it's really an interesting book. And the subject of Ouija, everybody's like, oh, my God, it's bad, you know. Or a couple of people go, oh, come on, knock it off. But
right.
You start off the book with the history of the Ouija board, which dates back to, if I'm not mistaken, the early 1890s.
Correct.
And patented by the International Novelty Company. So I'm guessing at that time, the board and others like it were conceived for amusement rather than for serious divination purposes. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And the International Novelty Company were in Canada. And then we had our own company here that also did the board, too. But, yeah, it was 1891. And it was created just as a novel idea. It was a game. But yet, back then, the spiritual movement was really huge. It started about mid-1800s with the Fox sisters, and it progressed from there. And it was really popular for people to, in the evening, sit in their parlor and communicate, whether it was automatic writing or go to revivals where they would have seances. And so it was very common back then for people to go to church on Saturday night to do the Ouija board or use seances, and then Sunday go to church. There really was no problem with this tool back then. It was seen as a very malevolent, beneficial tool so they could speak to the dead. I mean, you got to remember they had the Civil War around these days, and a lot of people were lost. The carnage was huge for both sides, you know, all in the United States. So it was an opportunity for them to be able to reach back and reach out to their loved ones who they were missing. Mm-hmm. And from there, it just grew. It grew in popularity. And by the early 1900s, 10s and 20s and 30s, they were in everybody's parlor room. It was just a common thing to have.
And then somewhere along the line, it switched from being a parlor game to something serious, and also became a much sought-after tool for everybody to communicate with the other side. But then it became a very dreaded object of evil in some people's minds. Mm-hmm. Now, where do you think that came from?
Well, there's all these Ouija superstitions that have popped up over the years. And even in the early 1900s, people would want to blame the board if it was in their house and they did something bad. But truly, I know what you're talking about, Marla, is in 1973. But usually it was 1971 when the book The Exorcist came out. But it was in 73, December 26th. When the Exorcist movie was released. And in that movie, as you know, there's about a minute and a half a segment where Regan, the little girl who becomes possessed, was talking to Captain Howdy. And Hollywood was great. I mean, this is what happened. In 1966, Parker Brothers bought the board from the William Fold family. They sold it to Parker Brothers in 1966. That next year, it outsold Monopoly. It was the highest selling game that Parker Brothers had. I think it sold 2 million that first year. So imagine the popularity now in the mid-60s and now you're moving into the early 70s. This book comes out, the movie's made. Of course they're going to use the most popular game and put it into the movie. And plus, you know, the Ouija board has its weird background and most people don't even know how to use it. There's no instructions to it. So Hollywood really did a good job capitalizing on this.
They usually do.
They do. Yeah, they know what they're doing, don't they? And it's. I say hats off to them. I mean, that's what happened, and that's what they did. They went. They ran with this American pop icon and used it. I don't have a problem with that. I think, in fact, what it does is it brings it out even further into the public. Yes, Ouija, the word Ouija becomes very controversial and people kind of freak on that. When you hear the word, like Tim, your producer and I were just discussing before we came on online, there's always some kind of weird association with it. But if it didn't have that association, I probably wouldn't be sitting here talking to you about this board.
Right. You're right.
Quite frankly. Yeah.
Well, you know, I always believe that if the boards are used correctly, they're good. I mean, they're only as dangerous as the people who use them. And if used properly, I don't think there's a danger to them. And as I mentioned a while ago, you teach people about the positive benefits of the board. But you also say in the book that when it's used incorrectly, the board can and will evoke the dark side. And it's not something that should be used by the spiritually weak or uninformed. But with so many horror stories out there about people using talking boards, it would seem that the great majority of those who use the boards are, in fact, uninformed. Is that a fair statement?
I think it's a very fair, very good statement. Again, the board comes in a box. It's marketed as a game. Children get a hold of it, even adults, and there's no instructions. And if you haven't really traversed and worked in these realms before, when I say these realms, I'm talking about, you could talk about the lower astral realms, I call it the dead zone, or even the realms of higher vibrations. You don't know what you're going to get, and it's really about you fine-tuning yourself. Because I call, in the book, I talk about people using the board, I call them the operators. And it's all about the operators' energies, thoughts, intentions, beliefs, feelings. And that's going to affect and influence what kind of energies you attract back to you using this tool, as with any tool you use when you go into these other realms. So, yeah, there really needs to be a little more information about that. So after all these years of using the board, it wasn't until 2012 I came out into the public, and it's been 3 years now, it'll be 3 years in November, talking about this tool. Although I was writing about it many years ago, I just wasn't ready to come out in the public. It had such a negative connotation attached to it. And I didn't want that stigma on me, you know, with my businesses and the work I do in the world. So I was very careful about that. But once I came out and started talking about it, I was met by those who don't agree, and that's fine. I'm totally cool with a good discussion and discourse. But then I was met with a lot of people who said, "Oh my gosh, I use the Ouija board too in the closet, and I've been wanting to come out, you know." And they said, "Thank you for coming out." And so many people have been writing to me from around the world. I feel so blessed by this, reaching out to me and sharing their stories and asking me questions. And just, it's become just an incredible passion of mine to share this out here, because this tool, all it is a neutral device. But this tool somehow, maybe it's in our psyche, makes us feel like we can unlock something within ourselves, call it intuition, call it empathic, call it psychic abilities, call it something of that nature, moving into other realms, that it allows you to do these things. It's not the board doing it. It's really the operator again. But it gives us permission and a tool and a technique to go into these realms. And you know, I stumbled upon it as a child and it kind of worked my way around and through it and over it all those years. And then about 13 years after using it, Marla, I got really serious with it because a serious session happened. And at that point, I said, my goodness, this tool has far-reaching abilities way beyond just communicating with the dead and for fun and kicks and jollies. But it's really about a tool to use for healing, for messages and words that were left unsaid, for reaching into other realms and different levels of energy, such as angels, guardians, ethereal beings, and beyond. And so that's why I'm really excited about this tool, because it is so far-reaching.
Yeah, and we're going to get into some of that in a little while. But right off the bat, what do you believe is the greatest misconception surrounding the Ouija board?
Well, the greatest misconception is that it's a portal to hell. and then it will open the gates to Hades, and all these terrible hound dogs will come out and eat you. None of that's real. None of that's real. Yet, what happens is that it can bring out dark energies, as you mentioned in the beginning, because if you're harboring those or fear or feeling fearful, that's the kind of energy you're going to attract to you. It's not that you're a bad person. It's that when we're in that state, we shouldn't be using any kind of tool and traversing the different realms. So I think the biggest misconception is that automatically you're going to become possessed and it's the demonic tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about the size of it. Yeah, that's
don't you think?
People say that. Yeah, it's you know. And okay, so here's, now that we're on that subject, and I really hate to bring this up, but I'm going to because I have to. But you know, every time there is a discussion of Ouija boards, people bring it up, and I've never delved deeply into it, but kind of always thought it was an urban legend. So before anyone asks, I'm going to be the goat here. And then we can get back on track. So what's your take on Pazuzu, Zozo, that phenomenon?
I knew you were going to ask that.
Had to.
And it's timely. Yeah. I did address the whole concept of Zozo in my third book. And I know you've just read my second book. And that third book came out in April. It's called The Spirit of Alchemy. Anyway, I do believe that Zozo is a collection of energies, if you will, in our psyche. So it's like an archetypal universal energy that we're feeding. And so it's not a real, I do not believe it's a real entity. What I believe it is a collection of negative energies, lower astral vibrations, fear, deceit, disgust, all those things we don't like to feel. And then any energies that are stuck in that vibration can attract to it. And so you pull up this force. And if it's an entity, no, I disagree, but you pull it up. And people will claim it's done terrible havoc to their life. I'm here to say that nothing terrible, that none of this terrible havoc has to happen when you use a board, when you're willing to use it under different conditions. Under different conditions of your beliefs, your intentions, your feelings, your thoughts. We can get into that and how you can set yourself up. But yes, Zozo is an energy form, but I do not believe it's an entity. Therefore, you do not need to interact with it, and therefore, you don't need to make it more come more alive in your life. And I think there's been a lot of weak suspicions about it. Yet, I will say this. People have experiences, and I'm not one to debunk them, because I think everybody has whatever they truly believe they're going to experience, they're probably going to get. And so I'm just going to say it works with the energy of our minds, you know, so we have to really check ourselves, I say.
Well, that's it. And we can, and people can, create thought forms and, think they can build their own little demonic guy if they want, you know, but not intentionally, but if you're afraid of something, your mind is so intent on being afraid of that thing that that's what's going to come to you. You know, I mean, that's just the weirdness of the world. Your worst fear, if you dwell on it, will probably happen. So, you just have to be careful about what you think and how you go into it. And, you know, and the interesting thing that you touched on a minute ago is, you know, contrary to what some people might think, it's not only spirits of the deceased who come through the board. No. You're talking about angels. You're talking about guardians. You're talking about all kinds of things. Let's talk about the various entities that come through that don't happen to have horns and pitchforks.
Right. And they're not hounds of hell.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, that's, guess what? I do talk to animals too. I talk to animals that are dead and alive. Yes, I said alive.
Yeah,
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to really get into that in a minute. Okay. Yeah, that was my list because that's fascinating.
Check it. That's a fascinating one. I thought you might like that one. Okay, so by the way, everybody, everything we're talking about here is in that book, The Spirits of Ouija. So, and there's a lot of stories and information, as Marla knows. So I've learned over the years to progress from speaking with the deceased only to starting to speak to helpers and guardians and guides. And it came through originally as as my higher self. My higher self came through first. So that actually is a projection, a form of myself that is grander than my mind, my brain, my body. And it exists beyond this existence as Karen A. Dahlman and exists itself back into divinity, into divine cosmos. It's my connection, direct connection back to source. So my higher self started communicating with me and my other partners, board operators. This is back in 1989 when we stumbled upon this. And after that happened, we did that for 4 years. I really explored that and I put a lot of that in the book. Then I started reaching into, I thought, well, if I can talk to my higher self, which is beyond my own consciousness that I'm aware of, why couldn't I talk to like an angel? I know I have an angel. I was raised Catholic. We all had guardian angels. I believe that strongly. Sure enough, I started communicating with my angel. Now, She's very clever, very astute and very direct. She spent a lot of time talking to me back from about 92 to, gosh, for quite a few years. And then she kind of took a backseat as some other beings came forth. So I went from angels, then I started speaking to animals, alive animals, then I started speaking to dead animals, then I started speaking to ethereal beings. Now, the ethereal beings are those who have never been born in a body. They're discarnate spirits. And these have never, ever had a form, never reincarnated. They've always been of light source energy. So now I'm talking to the circle of beings who are directly reflections of source. As they say, we all are anyway. We just forgot that. And they come through, right? And they give such divine wise advice and wisdom and suggestions and inspiration. And so from there, I've also reached out into other energies, and I've had some interdimensional, or you might want to call them ET, extraterrestrial energies coming through. I haven't shared too much about that. I might in a future book, but it's endless. The possibilities and realms that we can reach are endless, and in each of these realms, I kind of see it, Marla, like a circle, and then it spreads out like when you drop a pebble into the pond, and you have these different rings. And each ring has in itself different levels of angels and guardians and guides. And then you go to the next level. And they have so many different dimensions to reach into. And so my goal is just to keep pushing the boundaries of all these different realms and working with it. Now, to do that, you have to work with your own energy. And so I'm very dedicated to working on my energy myself. We can talk about how I do that to reach into these other realms. It really, those realms didn't come to me until I raised my vibration to them. I didn't know what I was doing, but I found out along the way, that's what I did. So now I can go jump higher and further now because I understand how to do it. I kind of understand the recipe for it.
Well, let's talk about the process then.
Okay, great. Yeah, this is a great place to start. Anybody out there that is looking to use this tool or already uses it and wants just a few little tidbits of information, we really want to look at, number one, the atmosphere in which you use this board. And the atmosphere consists of your internal space, how you are inside yourself, and your external space, the space environment in which you're doing it, and also the internal space of your partner, your board operator partner, and also the planetary celestial atmospheric space. And I'll touch on that one in a second. I learned this after many years that can be an influence on your session. But what you can control is your internal space and your external immediate space. And so what I highly recommend you do is you get into a space where you know you've check the problems and worries and troubles of the day. You already feel you're not like hungry, you're not like tired, you're not like just dying of thirst. Just take care of all those needs, those physical needs. Then start looking at more mentally how you feel, emotionally how you feel, and release. You know, I used to do breath work to do it. And then I have a prayer I always say and a certain circuitry exercise. And by the way, this is all in the book. I have 13 steps to doing this. I'm just going to touch on the main ones. Right. And so you get yourself into space and the breath helps because you can really get yourself centered and grounded. And then you say your prayer. Your partner does the same. And I always light a candle or incense. I prefer a candle, but I've done incense or sage. just to set the ambiance in that room where you're working the board to another level. It's like telling yourself subconsciously and consciously and letting the spirits know you take this seriously. You're lighting a candle for this event. You might even have your crystals laid out. You might have your little helpers, whatever it is you use when you do your work. And sometimes I lay out crystals. Most of the time, it's really a candle in my Buddha, and it lights, and we do our breath work. And I have my tea and water, and that's, for me, I always have tea. I have tea right now while I'm talking to you, because tea puts me in the space of being in my center. It aligns me. So when you do this ritual, it really sets up a process for yourself, and you do it consistently over time. When you sit down to the board at the same place, not necessarily the same time, but the same place, the same ritual, the same energies, you're going to start attracting those same quality of energies back to you. So I go into the session with this prayer. I always say thank you before I even start. I give gratitude, to the spirits. That's so important, isn't it, Marla, any of this kind of work?
Acknowledging and be grateful, yes, and letting them know. You know, you can't keep it in your head. You have to make sure they find out.
Yeah, and so I start that way. And then they come on immediately. The ones I talk to, just they're there every single time, as long as I want. They're right there. Now, the other thing I do is I don't ask just yes and no questions. I ask yes and no only for clarification. I think, Marla, the biggest mistake beginners use or do on the board is they get stuck with, they don't want to have patience. they want the planchette to move. And so when they're not getting their answers, what they want, or the words aren't spelling correctly, now, that takes many hours and many, many miles under the planchette. They ask yes and no questions, and leading questions, to say the least. And that's the worst thing to do, because then your communicators on your side, your spirit friends, I call them my spirit friends, don't get to learn to use this tool and spell. And once you build up this repertoire of them spelling, I've done the blindfold experiment and it works. I'll tell you that right now. People say it doesn't, but it worked for me very, very well. That was back in 1986. And you'll find you build up this repertoire, allowing them to spell, they will start giving you pages upon pages. I get now paragraphs to pages to pages to pages of them non-stop talking when they're communicating to me in the beginning. And then we go through a whole series of questions and answers and things like that. The other thing I do is when I'm done, I always thank them again and I say goodbye. Now, my planchette doesn't go to the goodbye. It never has. I just feel the energy lifting. It just lifts, it leaves. I just say goodbye, thank you. And they have a final summary, they say, and then we end the session, put the board away, remove yourself from where you were sitting, blow out the candle, and then go back into the mundane, go back into your normal life, and then you've closed the session really well.
Exactly. Now, something came up as you were talking about spelling, because here's the other thing you hear all the time. If you're doing a Ouija session, and whoever is on the other side writing back to you and they don't know how to spell, that's always a demon. Have you heard that one?
No, because in the beginning, they all don't know how to spell.
you think some of them, yeah.
Yeah, they'll come through and it's hard. I mean, there's been a few occasions when a spirit deceased person, is so strong, they come through and use the board right away and can spell. I've had that several times. Mm-hmm. That's a rarity. Yeah. Typically, you sit down with somebody, it's going to be gibberish, and that's going to continue on until you build up your, it's not about so much them, it's about our connection, my partners and my connection, and how we can raise our energy to match theirs. Although they're human and now they're deceased, they're in a whole different vibrational dimension. And the vibrational dimension is at a different speed of ours. It's a higher resonant, higher speed of vibration, because it's hard for them to come back down to reach us. And so I find that their struggle is more for our struggle to get our energy. So if you're using the board with a new partner all the time, it's just hard to get that established. It's hard to get that connection that the spirits can start relying on. It's a frequency you're vibrating at when you do this work. They've often told me when they just stumble through, I'll have spirits sometimes when I'm on a session just stumble through. Nowadays I have bouncers that don't really allow that to happen. But if they come through and they want to talk to me, I'm always welcoming of spirits. But they will stumble through and say, I saw a light and I came to you and I found you. And what is this? And what are we doing? What's going on? And apparently a lot of them don't know they're dead. So Yeah, you don't know what you're going to get. And this is a tool that should be taken very seriously. I do. Yes, it is fun. Yes, it's novel. Yes, it's exciting. But it also, there's a reverence about it. And it's a sacred tool because you're sacred. Your energy work, your inner vibration is sacred. You want to protect your energy vibration and you want to protect anybody in the room, in the house with you as you do this work. It's not that you're going to get negative things, but if you're being silly about it, it's, I've seen and heard a lot of stories, not that anybody in your chat room doing that. I'm just saying other people, I've heard these stories where they're imbibing on mind-altering substances and playing games and joking around and asking stupid questions, and that's what you're going to get back. That is the level of frequency of the communication you're going to get. But yes, Marlo, or no, Marlo's going to say when they do gibberish in the beginning doesn't necessarily mean there's a demon. It just means they're having a hard time spelling. They're having a hard time using this tool.
We've got to just clear up all the misconceptions because that was honestly one of them. Now, the other thing, too, is attitude when you go in to do it. Because when you're a kid, and this happened to me, we were using the Ouija board, a friend of mine, and I was kind of getting the giggles because at that point I was always like scared. And when I got scared, I giggled then. And she kept saying, stop it. Just stop being silly. And I just kept, okay, haha. What are you going to do? You're 11 years old, 12 years old. Well, at one point, there was a candle burning on the middle of the table. And it was in a very heavy holder. And all of a sudden, that candle moved across the table and dumped into my lap, lit. And so, obviously, whoever was on the other end of this was not amused, and either was I at that point. I was like, oh Jesus, I'm catching on fire now. So you have to be respectful when you do any kind of divination, I think.
Yeah, I think, and so too. Sure. And there's so much up. You brought up a great point, Marla. There really truly is so much about our mind we don't understand. I'm not talking about our brain. Well, our brain, we use about 8%, but even our mind, our consciousness, I'm talking about. And that's back to the higher self. And that's what's within us and without us, what's outside of us, even larger than ourselves. We don't quite even understand the afterlife. We don't understand it. We all get glimpses of it from our own perspective. We don't understand all the realms and dimensions. We just have faith, or we have our experiences, and that's probably faith too. And, we don't know a whole lot. And so, when this candle ended up on her lap. Now, I'm going to put another proposition out there, a possibility. Yes, it could be another energy out there that's like, I'm not sure if I like this energy. It could also be telekinesis. We have the ability to do these things that we just forget. And my spirit guides are always reminding me and reminding us, and in my books I talk about it too. We just forgot. These are skills that we all have. So we don't know what all is going on here. And people often say to me, well, how do you know you're not just talking to a part of yourself? And I say, you know what? I don't know, but I'll tell you this. I think I am speaking to an aspect of myself because my higher self is connected back to source. As everybody here is higher self. Physics teaches that we're all interconnected. Quantum physics teaches that. We also, we all came from a source. A lot of people call that God, all that is. Mm-hmm. Some universal vision. We all came from that. So we all are connected. So therefore, I am connected to my angels, to these guardians, to the deceased, to you, to the people in the chat room, Caroline, Hitman, Ceiling Cat, Elm, Ouija. We're all connected on some level. So this is very esoteric, and this is kind of where I am with the board now. But I'm seeing the interconnectivity and the synchronicity of it all. So that gets pretty far out there. I know I'm going down a wormhole, but in a way, I do. People ask me a question, I can't just answer it by saying, no, they're separate from me. I think they come because there's a part of me that's asking them, that's embodying them, and that's an aspect of my energy that brings them. So we connect at an energetic level, so we are connected too. It's really a hard thing to wrap our minds around, and I'm working hard at doing that, and I try to explain it the best I can in my books.
Yeah, well, there's no easy way to, get into it. There's so many different aspects of it. Now, the other thing that people are warned about, and I don't know if this, is true or not, is about using the Ouija board alone rather than with a partner. People will tell you, don't do that because that's really dangerous. You get possessed or something. What's your take on that?
Oh, I can go a lot of different directions with this one. Okay, so people, I've been asked that for many years. This is what I recommend, and I'll tell you why. And I wrote a bunch of articles. Go to my website, KarenADalman.com. I've got all kinds of articles, and I wrote an article about using the Ouija board alone specifically because I've been asked this question many times. Now, I will say I highly recommend you do it with a partner, especially in the beginning. And the reason why is because when you're new at this, the energy, the movements are so subtle to learn to capture them, to learn to be on them. I always ask my partners when they're new doing the board with me, I say, what does that feel like? And the typical response I get that they're all telling me, independent of each other, is it's a pulling movement. I said, that's it, bingo. So instead of you feeling like you're on top of it and you're questioning, is my mind moving this? Is it the idiom motor, my fine muscle movements of the, from the brain? Am I pushing this? But when you're with somebody else, it starts, you're able to let go more. And you think, okay, I'm not pushing. Maybe they are. Okay, and they're going, well, I'm not pushing. Maybe they are. But you let go easier. And then you start to feel this subtle movement. Now, having said that, a lot of people do not have the ability to work with a partner, maybe because of where they live. It's more conservative. People don't like to hear about the Ouija board. And you don't. It's not a normal topic to go outside and say, hey, come into my house, let's do the Ouija board. You can do it by yourself. It's no different than holding a Frank's box, an EVP meter, doing pendulum or doing dowsing rods or using a tarot deck. You're going and you've been fighting energies. It's no different than automatic writing. So I say you can do it alone. It's just harder because it's this tool. It does move and you rely on that movement. That's what makes it harder. I say, though, if you do it alone, check out that article I wrote. It's for free. Just go to my website, read it, because there's a whole play here. There's a whole background, and I call it having your spiritual practice in place. Not the Ouija board. It's not a spiritual practice. Your own spiritual practice that allows you to connect to the forces, and it also allows you to be centered in yourself and never give your power away. That's key. And so a lot of people, when they get used the board at first, they quickly want to believe everything they hear. They want to give their power away to something. They want to become obsessed with it. I've seen that too many times. And there's nothing healthy about becoming obsessed with any kind of external tool. Rely on yourself. Yeah. So there's pros and cons. There's dangers to it all. Not to scare anybody again. It's just, again, it's a tool. And there's just many ways to approach it. But there's really only a few ways to do it safely. So I'm trying to help with that.
Exactly. I've got a question from the chat room from Cece. She wants to know what you think of electronic Ouija boards, ghost radar, or even an EVP session as a spirit medium.
Yeah, I like them all. I like everything that has to do with bringing high tech to old school. I'm old school Ouija, and high tech Ouija is fun. And I've experimented with that with a few people who have their boxes and their EVPs and all electronic equipment, which I don't have, but I'm considering investing in one. I do record, I digitally record my sessions now, not so much for EVPs, but really so I can have every single thing verbatim without having to take these copious notes that I've taken for years. But now, electronic Ouija, okay, so I have a lot of those installed on my iPad for fun. And I think it's kind of like the obelisk, you know, there's so many repetitions it's going to go through and it's going to give you an answer. But yet, to the synchronicity of things in our life, sometimes those things that might come up could actually relate to what's going on in your life. So it's kind of like the magic eight ball, you know, from the 70s. Right? I think it had like eight sides to it. I can't remember how many sides it had to it, whatever it was. And it was octagonal, I can't remember. But you turn that thing around and you might get, no, try later, I love you, you know, things like that. And sometimes it'll come up and you can go, oh, you could read into it, you see. So I think with the electronic Ouija things, it's a little difficult because you're not really contacting it other than maybe you're thinking about it, you're watching it online, or you put your finger on your iPad, which I've done. Yet there's been some interesting things. I've played with a few of those. I do like the Frank's box, the ghost box, the ones that have the sound and you get feedback on different ranges. I found some really cool things with that as well that seem relevant to the session. I just haven't gotten into that as much. Those haven't called to me, where the old school Ouija really has. And so that's what I stick with. But I have respect for all the different tools out there. Every single one of the tools. People ask about pendulums a lot, and I saw somebody in there asking about it. And yeah, the pendulum's great. That's not one of my tools, but I know a lot of people who use it with the Ouija board. And they even use it with small, like Ouija board. Yeah, you probably heard that as well. I mean,
sure.
These are great tools. Try them all. See what you get.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever works for you. Divination is not across the board, and that was not a pun, but came out like one. you know, certain things work for certain people, and we're driven or brought to them, and that's where we go. But it's good to try them all, if you can. Yeah. It just expands your way of thinking. It could bring some very interesting results, and you know, never put the blinders on, because the possibilities are always out there, and divination in any form is just absolutely amazing. Now, let's get back to the pets thing, because that jumped out at me. you know, talking about pets that have passed over, that makes great sense. And then I read that, you know, you communicate with ones that are alive. And for a minute, I'm like, now, how the hell did that happen? but then the more I got to thinking about it, you know, because it will have people shaking their heads, seriously. The more I got to thinking about it, was it's not that, you know, the pet is there and moving the planchette. The pet is there talking to the guide. And so what's so weird about that, in a way, you know, and the guide is passing on the message to you.
Right.
So talk about that. I mean, that's kind of fascinating.
Yeah, it's very fascinating to me, too. Yeah, it's no different than people that do animal communication right now that are with animals that are alive. So this is really, I mean, it was bizarre. And it's, I laugh every time I talk about it, because it's cute and it's also bizarre. And it blew me away when this first happened. It was 1994, and I was sitting there with my board partner communicating with my angel. Her name is Mary Angel. And basically all these guides that came to me, they didn't have their own names. I just named them. Mary liked that I called her Mary Angel. It just sounded so Catholic-like, so she said, that's good. That name will work. And then the other guides I talked to, I gave them their names because of where they enter the Ouija board. One enters in at the moon, and one enters in at the sun, and they're actually a collection of energies of ethereal beings. So anyway, they don't really have names. They're all androgynous, even my angel, although she appears as a female form. So she and I were talking with my board partner, and she said, all of a sudden she goes, okay, Karen, you're not going to believe this. Yeah, this is in the book too. You're not going to believe this. Somebody wants to talk to you. And I said, okay, bring them on. That's fine. We always have people coming in, our spirits coming in. And she said, all of a sudden, the energy on the board slowed down. It totally changed. And when you do this work, you start to, I call them the signatures of the spirits. The spirits come through on the planchette with a certain vibration to them, a certain energy. And you know it as they move around the board, it changes the feeling of it, slow, fast, quick, whatever. This one slowed down a lot. And all of a sudden it spelled out, Hermie cat, I love you. Now my cat's name was Hermes with an S, but he said Hermie. And I went, what? My big fat orange cat, whose name is Hermes, was sitting in a rocking chair, would sit near the edge of the table where we would sit and love to watch us do Ouija. I don't know why. We just lay there and watch. The other cat didn't care. And I looked at him, and then I went back to the board and said, was that what I think it was? She said, yes, that was your cat. He wanted to come through. I said, no, come on. She goes, no, this works. And it's time for you to learn this, basically. And what I learned then, and she explained even more over the years that was my first two sets, first set of cats, and I'm on the next set of cats, three, I have three cats. One even named himself to the board when I got him. But what I learned is, As Marla said, it's not like they're moving the planchette. What happens is they have a concept, an energy, an idea, or something they want to communicate. It's all through feelings. It's all through visual images, not through words. They don't have words like we do. But their set of communication is like, it's instinctual. It's how animals communicate to each other without really even talking, or without making a sound that we're used to making a sound. They talk through their visual and their body language and their energy and all in pictures. So the guides, the bouncers, the guardians who help me, in this case, the angels who comes through a lot and helps with the animals, and so does my moon spirit. When they come through, they just interpret that, and they interpret it and put it to words the best they can to capture what the animal's trying to say. Now, when I talk to my animals, they're like, I go, come here, Panzer, come here, Jack, you want to talk to me? And that's the animals I have right now, my cats, and they say, no, we don't want to. And I say, come on, come talk to mom. They said, okay, all right. And then I'll ask him, what do you want to say? And they go, can you feed me tuna tonight? I really like it. Can we do this? I mean, they ask me questions. It's really like a two-year-old. And it's just hysterical. And I would say probably every 2 to 3 sessions I have to talk to one of my animals. And sometimes they just pop in and talk to me. you know, and they yeah. say the funniest things. And I'm thinking, I couldn't even create this stuff they're saying. I couldn't. So cute. Well, you read that section on my cats.
I did. And I had to chuckle, and then I had to shrink back a little bit because I would be really afraid to know what mine would say. I have, I don't even know how to explain him. Tim loves him because he's got a mean streak and he's kind of, you know, whatever. But I just, you know, sometimes you want to get into their head, and I thought, well, maybe I should try this with him. I don't know if I can do this or not. I don't know if I want to know, because that's how it gets. But it is, it's a fascinating process. It really is. And, you know, I think I don't, you know, it's funny you're saying they're asking questions like two-year-olds. Well, I don't think that animals are of lesser intelligence than we are they just are not as complicated as we are. You know, they can get a point across in three words or three visions that might take somebody three paragraphs to do.
That's it. So, it's very simplistic. It's direct. Yeah. It's straightforward. You know what? I wouldn't be afraid to hear your animals. They are the givers and the lights of unconditional love. And they really mm-hmm. are our true teachers. And if I just go back and it's all the messages I've had from over the years and how unselfish they are and how they are so much in the moment. I could write a whole book about learning everything I needed to learn from my cat because it's uh-huh. true. And they're so appreciative. I have two cats that were greatly abused, one especially, and that's the two cats in the book you read, Marla, mm-hmm. and just afraid of people and men, and he's really shifted, and he's shifted to the point that he wants to write a book with me through the Ouija board. I know it sounds crazy, but we've actually started working on it, and his story,
like that.
His story is very touching. It's very much a healing story, although he says he's healed, there's nothing wrong with him, but I can hear all of his past in it. These animals don't hold on to their past. They don't hold on to the pains. They just move forward. It's really quite sweet. Although my cat Jack, who was so abused as a baby kitty, and he's been with me for like 8 years now, and I got him at the age of three, he's still a skittish around people because there's that fear inbred in him, yet he doesn't acknowledge that. He just moved. He's happy to be here, and everything about him is very positive. So yeah, it's really amazing. The animals are so loving that I can't imagine any message from anybody's pet would be otherwise than that.
Tim is probably sitting there chuckling now. He's seen some of it. we'll move on for the moment. So when someone uses Ouija board on a regular basis, can they expect to have some of the same guides or beings show up each and every time? Or do they kind of, you know, come in and out?
Well, this is what I've learned. You can have them that stay with you for a long time. Now, I've had some that were earthbound spirits, and I realized that, and I started progressing in my own spiritual development and realizing it wasn't a good thing for them or for me karmically, or even just for my own evolution to continue speaking to an earthbound spirit. And I write about this in that book, a big section about in the do's and don'ts. And I told that spirit I couldn't talk to it anymore. I had to let it go. Then I had a guide who was also of the astral realms and had not moved on into the evolution, I believe in incarnations, and that's what she was telling me too. And her name was Wilma Jean. And I spoke to her for 15 years. And then it came a time when the angel stepped in and said, it's time for Wilma to go. And Wilma agreed. She knew to go, that it was time for her to move on in her evolution. And she was a human and that was deceased. Then there's other guides and guardians who are with me since they entered. And my higher self's always been with me. You can't get rid of your higher self. I just didn't communicate with it directly until 1989. But then when the angel entered about around that time, a little later, and then my new spirit guides, the sun and moon, I had many before that, many throughout. These are the predominant ones I have now. My higher self, whose name is also healing spirit, the moon, the sun, they're collections of energies of, if you will, soul groups that are together. There's many of them in there. And then my uh-huh. Mary Angel. And those are the main ones. It's kind of my pantheon or my trinity of spirits that I communicate with. And then there's uh-huh. other ones that come through. And what I find is when you're working on yourself spiritually as well, you start to change your energy and new guides come in that can help you along that way. They don't come in until you're ready. They don't come in until you ask. Nobody will ever force themselves in. The only thing that can force itself in is when you're open to bad energies, negative influences, which I highly don't recommend. There's no reason to make your life harder. Our lives are hard enough. Right. So I'm all about progressing and doing my own work. I do my own spiritual work all the time, my own cleansing and clearing, and meditation's key is the most important thing I think that I've been able to incorporate in this work. Dream work too, doing a lot of contemplation, reflection, and journaling. So I always know my center. And then as I do that, new guides and beings start to come in who can help me on another level or another aspect or something I'm exploring. But there are a few you'll find over time that'll be with you and will always be with you. And they may take sometimes a backseat, as others, like my Mary Angel takes more of a backseat. Although whenever I speak to somebody who's deceased or somebody comes to me and says, I need to hear from my loved one, she comes in immediately and relays the message. So she's my communicator for the deceased now.
Yeah, well, I always say that there are so many spirit guides out there and each of them has their own specialty, like doctors. And if you can call on them, you know, I mean, my belief system, you have one main guide, but others come in and out throughout whenever you need them. And there's nothing, you know, if you're having an issue, say with a pet, trying to do some healing, I mean, you can do the Reiki and all that, but I always call on a vet guide to come in as well. And, you know, they don't think badly of it I mean, this is what they're there for and they're all willing to help, but they need to know that you need the help. So, you know, it's like going to a doctor. You start out with your GP, but you may need to go to a cardiologist or you may need to go to OBGYN. So it's just a question of knowing that they're there. And even for the sessions, if you're doing a session on the board about something specific, well, call in the guide that knows most about that topic. You know, just say, hey, I need a guide who knows blah, blah, blah. And they may very well show up. Yeah.
Yeah, excellent analogy. I like this whole thing about the doctors because it's true. There's so many specialists out there. And by the way, people say, well, do you get this message from this guide? So people come to my session, they go, somebody wanted to ask about aliens and extraterrestrials. And these guys said, well, we only come here to speak to you about ancient wisdom and knowledge. There are other guides you can call upon for that. Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's true. See, like you just said, that's very true. And so that's a very good point to follow. So you have to ask for guidance. Even if you're not using the Ouija board, let's say you're going through a trying time and you lay down at night and you say, just speak to your angel out loud. If you believe in God, you speak to, if you believe in angels, if you believe in guardians, your deceased grandma who is so loving, call out to them and say, I need your help. Can you help me? And they'll come in your dreams. You may not realize it, but they will. They're there. Mm-hmm. We're here to help us. But they only enter they're in the wings waiting, but they only enter if you request. And these are the loving spirits that have nothing but your best interests at heart. So yeah, I call upon those. And I tell people all the time, if you're going to use the board, and Marla, also any other divination tool, call in first to meet your higher self or your angels or your guides. They can be your bouncer on your side when you're traversing the astral realms. Because when you start this process of the board, it's so much easier to talk to the voices that are the loudest. And the voices that are the loudest, my spirit guides tell me, are the ones that are just deceased, that are earthbound. They're not the ones, you know, not like your loving family. I'm talking about the ones that are still stuck and haunting a place and they're just stuck. And they're not necessarily always bad people. They're not bad people. They just are stuck. And they're easiest to come through because their vibration hasn't quite gone to where it's supposed to go yet. So that's where you always will start. And so I say, call in your guides and angels. They can come help you at any time, any point. So start there if you're going to do this work. And then from there, you can start exploring, you know, the realms.
Yeah. And I also, you know, I also have kind of a generic one. I said, call in the doorkeeper. Bring in a doorkeeper. You know, that's the bouncer. Yes. That's the one that's not going to let people through. So I always tell my guide, okay, who have you got for a doorkeeper? Bring them in tonight before we start this. Because you can never be too careful. You know how that goes. There's always party crashers. So, you know, just don't be afraid to ask. I mean, that's kind of the main thing. And should we always ask who is with us before we start a session?
Oh, I do. This is what I do. Well, first of all, now I'm at the point where I just say, I know who I'm going to talk to. But typically who comes through now for me is mostly the moon, because we're writing a series on the website called Moon Messages. And so she has a lot of esoteric, it's not a she, I call her that. I call the sun a man, and it's not. They're androgynous, but we're doing a lot of work together. And we did a lot of work writing my third book. And so those ones come through. And so I know when they come through, but I still always say when those people are at my session, please identify yourself. And she identifies herself. There's a way she identifies herself on the board every time. It's the same thing as same with all my other guides. Now, if it's somebody new coming through, I'll say, for me to communicate with you, you need to let me know who you are. I say, Moon, please step in and help out. I always have my guides right there to help me. I'm not going about this alone. We always need help. We're better in collaboration than we are working in a vacuum. So I believe that outside of the Ouija board, and I believe that in life, and I believe that on the board. So I just call in my resources, and they come through, and they help, like you said, Marla, they help. I call them the master and mistresses of ceremony, or as you said, the bouncer, the guides. They can kind of regulate it, monitor it, and, say, okay, so-and-so's here, or they'll communicate for them. I have some that come through who come through with a different language, and that's happened to me on a few occasions, one specifically in Mexico, and I do speak some broken Spanish enough to understand what she was saying. And then the guys, I think it was Mary Angel at that time, and the moon, they came through. It was Mary Angel, that's right, because she met them, came through and interpreted and put it in English. Now, how do they know all these languages? I don't know. But I think, again, it's like interpreting the animals. It's like they have a way to transfer this to me, because I couldn't go on the whole session Spanish. I could say a few little words and a few broken kindergarten language at the most, and this spirit was very excited, but then it became English, and we had an incredible session with her, and then a spirit releasement that happened later on. The guides are here to help us.
The only thing, ask and ye shall receive. I know we talked about working alone, but there's a quick question in the chat room. Sure. And she wants to know why it never works when she's alone. And does she need to call upon someone to help?
Oh, that's Coraline, I believe. What do you mean? Okay, great. Yeah, I saw your question there. And so this tool... doesn't always work for everybody, although I think it could. You could develop a skill. But what I find is being alone, it's harder. It's harder to start it going. Get this. I've been using it for 42 years now. Yeah, I kind of gave away my age almost. and I was using it since the age of 8. There you go. Okay, so I've been using it for half a century. Okay, so it's tough in the beginning by yourself. I just started using it alone about the age 39. Excuse me, age 39. At 39 years into it, the age of 47. 39 years into it, because I thought you could only use it with a partner. That's what I believed. So it's been hard for me to break through that. Although now I can do it alone, I only get like sentences. Wherein I use it with a partner, I'm getting paragraphs and pages. So go figure. I'd rather do paragraphs and pages than by myself right now. Although that's a technique I'm still developing. So, and here I'm somebody who's been using it forever. It really depends on what you believe, too. If you believe it's scary alone, it's not going to work. I wouldn't recommend doing it alone. If you believe it's not scary and you are open to doing it with a person, do it with a partner. Don't do it with three people, four people. Just do it with one other person. You get too many energies on there, like those movies that show everybody's hands on it. You know, that's just a bunch of junk. Although I have done it with four people before, but these people were highly skilled mediums or users of this board or channelers, and we were able to get some great stuff. So I just recommend one person.
It's very awkward otherwise, yeah.
It is awkward because there's too much energy, and it's, I don't know, although it can work, it's just too much. I just say there's no reason to make it into a group game like Monopoly where five people have to play, you know, make it into just you and a partner. But you can work alone. Do read that article about working solo. I wrote, and it's on my website under articles. Can you use the board alone? And read that. That'll help you a lot. But it's harder to learn for some people. Some people pick it up right away. So just see what you feel about it. If you feel called to doing it alone, then, you know, go through all the steps I mentioned and set up your atmosphere and your internal atmosphere and try it. But I will say this, no matter if you use it alone or with the person, it takes many miles under the planchette. It can take weeks to months to months to months to months, almost a year for some people. And I've had people that have been trying it for a long time and still can't get it to work. So there's a lot of things going on there, and unless I'm not with somebody in person, I can't really show maybe what they can maybe shift to make this a little better for them. But it's like any tool, learning to use any kind of tool, learning a skill, you always have to take a lot of practice with something to really become proficient at it.
Exactly. Now, you've mentioned your website, and we've got like 2 minutes left. And so before we go, I want you to tell everybody where they can find you, where people can get the book, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Well, great. Well, I must say thank you for having me on, Marla. It's been a delight. Love this forum. Everybody's been great in the room. So thank you to everybody in the chat room. It's so much fun. I wish I could answer all your questions. And yes, I do know Rosemary Allen Guiley, and she and I do the board. I saw them there. Yes. And we have great Ouija sessions, let me tell you. Okay. So you can find me at Karen A. Dahlman, DAHLMAN.com, or Creative Visions Publications, that's my publishing house, .com. My books are there. My articles, I have a lot of articles. Go to the section called articles. I have articles in spirit, like spiritual help, helping yourself spiritually, developing your spiritual skills, well-being, articles on just, you know, boosting your self-esteem, things of that. I used to be a psychotherapist, so I do it all. And then I also have articles on communicating with spirit called Talking Boards. And we have moon messages up there, which are all the messages I'm receiving from my collective energies called the moon. And they're all ancient wisdom to use in practical ways in today's world. So come to my website, visit me, join the newsletter. All kinds of fun stuff going on there. Past shows are on there. Marla's show will be on there, be posted once it's up. And come say hi. And you can also find my books on Amazon.com under my name. So thank you all again.
Well, thank you again. And before the hook comes and gets us both by the neck, I'm going to just say we'll have you back. We'll talk some more about it down the line. And thank everybody for listening. And until next time, everybody, blessed be and merry meet again. Good night.
This has been another edition of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Be sure to tune in next week at this same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2014. Moonlight Hall by Kevin MacLeod, licensed through Incompetech.com.